everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question, or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Hello, I'm not Bob Christopher. I'm Richard Piper. I'm here with Drew Farley, and we will be holding down the fort. Bob is gone today. I want to give that phone number one more time, just so you hear it from me as well, 844-322-2742. Yesterday, we spent some time in Romans 5, and so I thought today I'd go backwards, and we'll spend some time in Romans 4. And if you recall Romans 4, this is where Paul talks about Abraham being the man of faith and why it was credited to him as righteousness. And I want to read just a couple of passages, not the whole chapter, but this gets down to the core of why we teach what we teach here. Starting in verse 13, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring." And then down into verse 23, "But the words 'it was accounted to him' were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." There are some really critical points that Paul made here. Nothing is more important than this one. If we receive the promise by obedience to the law, then faith is null, that is, empty, and the promise is void. And in Paul's writings, you can always look for this kind of point. The idea that he always went to was the promise versus the law. It's not that the law was bad, but the blessing was based on a promise that came way before the law was given. And the law cannot supersede the promise, as he said in Galatians. And so when he was talking about Abraham, this man of faith, this warts and all man of faith, we have hope. Because Abraham made mistakes and we make mistakes, but it's not our performance that matters. It's Jesus who matters. And in Abraham's case, it was the promise of this coming Messiah that mattered to him. And when we hold on to that, we are blessed. We believe that he was raised from the dead. We confess that with our mouths. God raised him from the dead for us, not just to demonstrate power, although it demonstrated incredible power, but for us who believe. I mean, this is the core of the gospel, and that is what makes our lives worthwhile. It is what makes Basic Gospel what we are today. Andrew, I know you don't call your ministry Basic Gospel, but I know you teach this stuff. How important is this for you?
Yeah, well, you know, as a member of the board and, you know, longtime friend of Basic Gospel, my goodness, I'm privileged to share this with you guys every week and share it in my church. And, you know, Romans 4, you've picked a nugget that is just gold here. I mean, you know, we're learning that we've got righteousness by faith, that it's not by what we do, and we nod our heads at that and say, thank you, Jesus, for the ticket to heaven. And then we realize going to heaven is free, and that's wonderful, but there's more to it than going to heaven. I mean, it's not just about a new destination someday. It's rightness with God. I mean, that's what righteousness is, that we are made right. We are in the way God sees us, which, by the way, is reality, not fantasy, but the way God sees us is that, you know, we're perfectly forgiven, we're perfectly cleansed, and we're perfectly righteous. You know, I want to just speak to this verse, because it says it was credited to him, and that's certainly... Yes. You know, that's certainly part of what we have, that we've been credited with righteousness. We call that righteousness being imputed. Mm-hmm. But there's also an imparted. And I think that that's what sets this ministry apart in many regards, is that we're saying, hey, there has been a real transformation that happens at the core of our being. You know, I'm reminded of Galatians 3. It says, if a law had been given that could impart life, now notice that word impart, not impute, but impart. If a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would have been based on the law. So what do we see? Righteousness is imputed, but righteousness and life are also imparted. That means that God has shared himself with us in a very real way, in a tangible way. Christ in you. And so when we talk about righteousness, it's real. I mean, we're saying we're born of God, we're born of the Spirit, we're born again, we've got a new heart, a new nature. Like, God has done a surgery at the core of our being, and it was free. And that's the point of Romans 4. It's all free. It's by grace. You can't earn it.
Yeah. This is what makes life worthwhile, folks. Pay attention. Again, welcome to Basic Gospel. Our number is 844-322-2742. All this month, we're giving away this booklet. It's called Forgiveness, the Doorway to Life. And all you have to do is go to our website and click on the banner and put in some information. We'll send you this free of charge. This is an important book. The reason we have put it out this way is that many, many people come to Jesus, and they get stuck at the cross. The cross is a great place to start. In fact, that's where we start. Jesus died for sins once for all and provided forgiveness for everyone who will accept him. But when we stay at the cross, it leaves us without life, because the cross can't give life. And that's why we call this forgiveness the door to life, because what you have to do is, when you come to the cross, you say, thank you, Jesus, for wiping out my sin once and for all eternally. Now I need to walk through the door to the risen Christ, to the empty tomb, and receive the life that he always intended for us to have. And so, understanding this issue, this critical issue of forgiveness, and why it is so powerful and so guaranteed by Jesus himself, makes it possible to walk on through and say hello to Jesus personally as he comes to live inside of you by the Holy Spirit. So get your copy. We have plenty of them. We'd love to send you a free copy of this booklet, our gift to you. And I hope many of you will do that today. We've got a call on the line from Ronnie in Fort Worth. He's listening on KWRD. Hi, Ronnie. You're on the air.
Hi. So I just had a question. I've been feeling really distant from God, kind of like he's not listening, not there, and I know that he is. Give you a little backstory. I've been a Christian for about 15 years.
Okay.
And I actually cheated on my wife a couple months ago. And I came clean to her, and she is awesome. But ever since that moment, it's just, God is so distant from me. And I want to know, how do I get back to where I was before?
Yeah. Well, Ronnie, first of all, you know, I commend you for listening to God's Spirit as you came clean to your wife and spoke with her about everything that had happened and, you know, confessed how you had done these things and hurt her. So, you know, God was involved in that, and
yeah.
you were listening to Him. And as you shared those things, you were still a saved person. You're still in Christ. Christ is still in you. And without Him, you probably wouldn't have done what you did in terms of coming back to her and, you know, seeking restoration and confessing your wrongdoing and all of that. So, you know, the fact that 5 minutes or 5 days or five, you know, weeks later or whatever, you got a feeling of distance from God, that doesn't surprise me at all. And the reason is that we have an accuser. I mean, we have an accuser that accuses us day and night. And you need to know that the sins that you committed, they were included. I mean, they were included on the cross. They have been forgiven. They have been forgotten. They are remembered no more. And so what you're experiencing in this is just accusation of the enemy. The forgiveness is real. And the cross that we celebrate, so many people have them hanging around their necks all over the planet. But we just forget what they mean. And what they mean is that you're a totally forgiven person, that you're off the hook, that you don't owe God, that you couldn't pay Him back anyway. He is not up in heaven wringing His hands about this with a furrowed brow, looking down saying, "Ronnie, how could you?" Well, the truth is, He saw all of this coming long before you did it. I mean, He looked down the timeline of your sins, and He saw all of them. When He hung on that cross, He died for every single one of them, and you need to put a stake in the ground and drive that stake in and say, "You know what? I am going to camp on the cross. I am going to recognize my total forgiveness, my total cleansing, and that I don't need more forgiveness. I don't need more cleansing. And in terms of being close to God, I am brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by my performance, not by my faithfulness to my wife. The reason I'm close to Jesus is because of His blood. He purchased my closeness. He purchased my intimacy with Him." And when you know that and you believe that, Ronnie, that's your assurance. The enemy's going to come like a whiny trial lawyer saying, "Hey, yeah, but you did this, and yeah, but you did that." Well, the answer is everything we've been reading today in Romans 4, that you're close not by what you do. You're close by what Jesus did. And so that's the assurance you have, my friend. Does that help?
It does. I just feel like it was a test, and I failed.
You failed, meaning with your wife?
No, I failed the test.
Which test?
The faithful test.
The faithful.
Being faithful to God, to my wife, to everything. I feel like I lost all integrity, all loyalty, everything.
Well, here's what
and
I want to say.
My wife has totally forgiven me. And
right. Here's what I want to say to that, Ronnie. Here's what I want to say to that. And I hope you'll understand my words. There is a good side of this, and that is this, that you will come to grips with an integrity that is not of you. We're talking about righteousness today, and you're talking about integrity. And let me tell you, those two things are the same thing. Integrity is rightness with God, and rightness with God is integrity. And you've been hoping for an integrity that you earn and that you sustain and that you maintain through the faithfulness in your marriage. Well, you know what? There are millions of Christians who've been unfaithful, and they've sinned big time. So that's why our righteousness and our God-given integrity has to be a gift of Jesus. Jesus is your integrity, and we learn that one way or another. But what I'm trying to say is you can stand on the gift of integrity by trusting Jesus as your rightness and trusting Jesus as your morality. So don't look to your track record. Today is today, and you don't have a righteousness or an integrity that's based on your past. you have an identity in Christ, and that identity is true of you right now. So that's what God is wanting to teach you in this. Hang on to your identity in Christ. Hang on to your righteousness in Him. Okay?
All right. All right. Awesome.
So, Ronnie, I would love to send you a book. Bob Christopher wrote a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And
I actually have that
book. You have it? Have you read it?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, read it again. And then look up every passage that's in that book. Look it up.
Okay.
Ask God, the Spirit, to reveal to you what they mean. And out of this hellish situation, you will find growth and peace and reconciliation that you wouldn't have imagined possible before.
Yeah.
God is that powerful. Nice. And nice. He's not surprised, he's not shocked, and there is no condemnation, so quit condemning yourself.
That's right. Use this as an opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, that I am the righteousness of God. That's what the Bible says about you. You are the righteousness of God. And the enemy says, how can that be? Look at what you've done. Well, it's not because of what you've done. So what an opportunity, Ronnie. What an opportunity to focus on what Jesus has done instead of what you've done. So use this opportunity to understand your righteousness and count on it.
Mm-hmm. And say thank you to your wife. She sounds like an awesome woman.
Every day.
Yeah.
She is.
That's really cool.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care. And give us a call back anytime, man, and let us know how you're doing, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye, Ronnie. Wow, what a great call.
Yeah.
There's pain there and all of that, but his honesty and jeepers, what a wife, godly wife.
Yeah.
We don't deserve the wives we've got, but he's got one of the good ones. We had a call that is a little bit related to this that came in overnight. Let's listen to that.
How can you know there's grace for you after you've been through a season of sin? How can you know that the Lord still has mercy? I know there's no time limit. There's no moment where God maybe turns away, but I feel that after a prolonged period of rejecting God, that I think the Bible teaches that you can lose your salvation. I was in college, and for about 6 months, I went on a dark path. I've been trying to turn back for about a year now, but it just feels so distant in my walk with the Lord. Thanks for any help you can provide. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you know, guys, this is something that comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just like in the phone call that we had there. I mean, an event happens, and we think it's a game changer. You know, it was unfaithfulness to a spouse, but now this new one is 6 months in college that didn't go so well. Some poor decisions were made. And, you know, I think the key word here is still. In the question, he says, is God still? Is God still, yeah, you know, gracious? Is God still forgiving? And we're looking at forgiveness as something that needs to be sustained or maintained. And,
yeah,
you know, that's not the way the Bible teaches forgiveness.
No, not at all.
The Bible teaches it as something that is once for all. So, you know, I would encourage him to go back and look at the book of Hebrews, especially chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10, and just say, you know, I want to soak in whatever this once for all forgiveness is. I need to know about this because I'm asking if God is still gracious and still kind and still loving and still forgiving to me. And I've got kind of a progressive, ongoing view of God's forgiveness. I need to see that, wait a minute, all of my sins were in the future when Christ died. I mean, he didn't say, I'm going to forgive these sins, but wait to forgive these sins. You know, he didn't say, hey, your sins and lawless acts, I remember no more except for those 6 months in college. You know, that's yeah, sort of the trick that the enemy plays with us, Richard. He says, uh-huh, you know, oh, yeah, you're forgiven except for this. You're forgiven, but this is the exception. You know, nobody else has ever done what you've done. What you've done is so exceptional. And the enemy tries to get us alone and condemn us and make us feel like Lone Ranger Christians. But the reality is, you know what? We really can't reject God if we've got eternal life. We can't spin that into temporal life. I mean, Ephesians 6 says that we have an undying love for Jesus Christ. God put that there. I mean, he is able to make us stand. He carries us on to completion. And so, you know, my advice here would be to really just camp on the once for all forgiveness and recognize, you know, I'm going to have to swallow my pride here. I thought I had messed up the cross through my 6 months in college. Mm-hmm. I thought I had out-sinned the grace of God. I thought my sins were so huge, he might say. But the reality is God is bigger, and our sins are small. Our God is big, and he has qualified us.
Yeah, this issue right here was one of the ones that just ate my lunch for years and years and years, because, you know, I thought that there was a way to out-sin God. I thought that you had to prove yourself over and over and over again, and that God sent tests that would demonstrate whether I was worthy or not. And what I came to realize is that I was actually pagan in my belief. I thought there was this God that needed to be appeased, and I patted myself on the back because I didn't offer sacrifices of children or dance around the fire naked or whatever we think of when we think of paganism. And yet, I was pagan in my fundamental belief because I had not come to the conclusion that Jesus was enough. If anything involves me, then it must be pagan, because now the God I am worshiping is in my image rather than restoring his image in me. And coming to grips with this kind of forgiveness, this permanence, will remove that paganism from your thinking, will allow you to see Jesus for who he really is rather than some figment of your or my imagination. Yeah. It's that vital. And he will not leave us in that mess. He will come to us. He will teach us. He will do whatever is necessary to make himself real to us if we'll just let him.
Isn't that exactly what we do, though? We take our human relationships and our human understanding of forgiveness, and we transfer that onto God. And, you know, we forgive people when they show up on our doorstep and they have an apology, and then on Tuesday they do something else, and by Thursday they've really ticked us off. And so we're used to operating in this time-based forgiveness that's progressive. And then Jesus comes along and he says, it's finished. And we call that the finished work of Christ.
Yes.
So what are we saying? We're saying your forgiveness is finished. It's over. You cannot be any more forgiven than you already are, past, present, and future. Your sins are taken away.
Yeah. So, Andrew, would you give us just a few words? We got about 2.5 minutes here before we're done.
Sure.
Why is it important to support Basic Gospel?
Well, I mean, look at what has happened just in a matter of 20 minutes here. We've heard from a young man who is married, and his marriage was in danger, and his heart was to have things restored and be healed. And even though he's made some moves, he sought counsel for how to find peace and rest in his own life. And that's what Basic Gospel is about. It's about helping people find peace and rest through the death and resurrection of Christ, understanding our forgiveness, our new identity in Jesus, and what it means to live under grace, under a covenant that is unshakable and unbreakable with the love of God that will never be revoked. So support Basic Gospel. It's the message. It's all about the message.
Indeed. Well, don't forget that we still have these booklets, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, available to you free of charge. Just contact us and ask us for one. We will happily send it to you. I want to close by reading the passage I opened with earlier. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. The words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. I want to thank Andrew for being on the air with us today. If you want to give, please go to our website and follow the donate link, or call 844-322-2742. Now for Andrew and the rest of the team here at Basic Gospel, thank you for listening. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Bye-bye.